Neil and Parkin Show.
Today's our Feel Good Fast Friday.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, there it is. Indeed it is. A Feel Good Fast Friday. McNeil and Spiegel on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Call it the Danny Mac Show. Let's go all the way back to the beginning.
126 before I knew it wouldn't take too long. The Danny Mac Show. Yeah.
I enjoyed the days when I was the in the Danny Mac Show, as I used to tell people. Your name's not on the show. Oh, yes, it is. Just call me the. And that only lasted a couple years. And I remember you saying, the apprenticeship is over.
Yes.
And it became Mac and Spiegs for 3 years.
Thanks for accepting my invitation to fly in the plane with me for 5 hours. This
Absolutely.
Is the last 5 hour show I'm going to do on a Friday on The Score, at least for a little while.
Oh, that's right. When does it change?
Change happens next Thursday.
Okay.
And appropriately, we're preempted by Cubs baseball on Thursday. So we're not even on.
You're not even on.
No. Pre-game starts at 2:35. That's the day of the switch. Lawrence will be working noon to 2:35 on Thursday.
That's
and
perfect.
Parkins is upset about it.
What, that he won't be there for the first day?
Yes, yes. Yeah, big listening day. You know, it's the Cubs. Yeah. Cubs are opening the season.
I'm surprised Parkins took the day off, frankly, because...
Today?
Yeah, because he doesn't... I don't know that he exists so much without a microphone. I haven't seen the man really have much of a life without a microphone.
He'll be doing a radio show, whatever established
wherever he is.
Today he just doesn't have the mic.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
I promise you he'll be holding court.
We used to say that about you, that you were like, you know, the thing when you hang out with Mac, remember Shep, like the first time we went to Arizona? First time we went to Arizona with Mac, like, yeah, what I didn't realize is that Mac just keeps doing his show.
In the back seat of the car while you're driving, he does it.
That's when we're on a flight to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're just getting snacks at the gift shop or whatever the heck it is. Like, we don't
Here comes Shepard with some snacks in his hand. You know? I brought some today, as a matter of fact.
Well,
I did a gas station stop today because I know how much this show has appreciated candy over the years.
Candy.
But I didn't buy the variety pack I would get at the airport because I always get so confused at the airport. And even just a 2 hour flight, Philly's not even 2 hours in the air. But I don't want to make the wrong decision, so I buy 6 or 7 items.
Because you never know what flavor profile your snacking needs are going to go towards.
Dude, nuts on Clark is just because I typically fly United, and you have to walk right by nuts on Clark.
Yeah,
and it's it gets me every time. And
does Clark mind when you take the nuts off of him? By the way, because he put them there. I assume Clark or his loved ones put the nuts there.
I did indeed.
Hey, I'm working here. Yeah. You know, just lying there with the nuts all over.
Even though I did this at the Hawks game last night, and I typically don't. What's the matter?
What Cincinnati happened? Lost.
Cincinnati's out.
It's a terrible
Iowa
time.
Iowa 79, Cincinnati 72. Hawkeyes advance.
Iowa people are happy.
Yes.
You know me, I've been a longtime Cincinnati fan ever since we bought them in the Calcutta auction on Wednesday night. Since then, I've been a huge Cincinnati fan.
History that's at least 48 hours old.
That's
or
right.
Almost.
My relationship, I go back to the Corey Blunt days at Cincinnati. No, I'm in this Calcutta auction where you pay lots of money for teams, and we're getting chopped at the knees left and right. It's
Forget
quite
about
ugly.
It and just go to the window. Just bet Duke money lines the rest of the tournament.
Yeah?
You got to lay big odds. But
just to get them,
they're going to win the tournament, aren't they? Their ineptitude from beyond the arc.
We need controversial teams like Duke and North Carolina to be in the final. That's the final we need. We went really deep. Really deep.
Well,
otherwise we got some teams that are
You got to appreciate the excellence of those programs.
For
though.
Sure.
You don't have
For
to
sure.
like them, but appreciating their excellence. But anyway.
I took you away from Nuts on Clark.
Yes.
And no one ever wants to
well,
do that.
Well, the Chicago mix, the caramel corn cheese, I strenuously object, Your Honor, to the mix.
To the mix?
I'm a pickle-lane guy.
You shut your mouth.
I don't like sweet and savory
shut
meeting.
Shut your dirty whore mouth.
Yes,
get out
see,
of here.
I knew that was good. So I bought one last night, though, because I was craving the caramel corn, and that's the only way they serve it. So I did them separately. I just reached in and I did the caramel corn first because that's what I was craving after a hot dog.
And you live with yourself okay
and
about
then,
this.
Yes, and then it's, you know, and it's, you know, you get some of them where you got the little cheese dusting on the caramel corn. I got to rub it on my jeans to get that off there.
Cheetle. So. That stuff is called cheetle. That was a sniglet decades ago from Rich Hall and not necessarily the news. Cheadle.
Okay.
And stuck with me forever. And it's perfect,
and
isn't it?
Yes, and you're recording your life for future playback. How valuable that it is in a day like today. But I can't do them together.
Really?
I got to do it separately. Yeah,
oh, my
I don't
God.
Like I don't like melding those two worlds.
So you're not a pineapple in stir fry guy?
No.
I love pineapple stir fry. I love pineapple on pizza.
Not a fan.
Chocolate covered pretzels.
Not often. No.
Really?
No.
You need your flavors isolated.
Yes, I generally do. Yeah, yeah.
You really are a hillbilly.
Is that hillbilly of me? Really? Is that a hillbilly tendency?
Your tastes are simplistic. No, I don't know. I just reached for an insult, whichever one was handy. No, I don't think it's necessarily hillbilly-ish, but do you like complex flavor profiles? See that?
Yes.
You do?
I do, yes.
Like but you know, a little salty, a little sweet, a little spicy with
like
some smoke in the back
to
or whatever.
Find out what every ingredient is in something I order in a restaurant. I like, okay, what is that? What's causing that flavor? Is that sage I'm feeling in here? Yeah, that's what I do. You get into a nice mushroom risotto or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's living.
Yeah, I've tried to cook things that I've had at restaurants to almost universal failure. Just can't quite get there. There's steps that I am missing and I don't even know exactly what they are.
Why don't you talk to somebody who might be skilled in the culinary arts, like a brother?
That's right.
Your brother's a professional chef.
Truth is, he doesn't like those phone calls.
Really?
He doesn't like those. Do you like when some pals call up and ask you about the Hawks? Well, hell, maybe you do.
Yes, he does the show 24 hours a day.
Good point.
We covered this.
Good point. Yeah, my brother, the chef, doesn't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Hey, how do I boil pasta? How long do I put that in for?
Most of my buddies earn their livings on roofs of houses and under hoods of cars, so it's not often they're calling to ask how to write a graceful sentence. I don't get too many demands for my whatever skill set I have.
Oh, I understand. All right, so how did we get here? We were talking about you on the road. We were talking about the Danny Mac show. We were going back to the very beginning.
Yes, going back to a conversation we had, too, with Dan and Connor, and it's got some text reaction I want to get to in just a second here.
This hour on the score is being brought to you by Family Hyundai. Yeah, the Tom Izzo thing, I'm surprised it became such a big topic of conversation because coaches are sometimes bullies. And I don't think Tom Izzo is approaching Bobby Knight territory by any stretch.
Hasn't made physical contact with a player.
No.
Hasn't thrown a chair in anger on the court.
No.
I'm not saying his record has been completely clean, especially in recent years with some things that he's...
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. His role in that stuff and pretending to play dumb, it was embarrassing. It was shameful. But in terms of this, I get it. It's a bad look, but that's an acceptable tool still in a coach's arsenal, whether
it
he uses
coaching.
It correctly or not.
And this is, we got several texts against us, several supporting us, because you and I are kind of, you know, in lockstep on this, what's the big deal? And somebody who says he's a behavioral therapist,
has,
it's proven to be an ineffective tool, yelling and screaming. And my first wife, Jill, is a behavioral analyst also. She works with kids with learning disabilities, autistic kids, young adults, and she would probably say the same thing. But do we give the people in sports a bit of a pass, maybe because that's the way it's always been? Perhaps. But I didn't see anything in that exchange that looked like it needed to be addressed. It looked like a coach was hot at a player who he's not getting to respond consistently, and he went to the whip. I'm not saying, oh, tough it up. This is the wussification of America. I'm not one of those guys. I just didn't see anything that was untoward.
Yeah, no, it's like if that proves ineffective, well, then he should learn that and try to reach his player better. But it's not. It was not to me outside the realm of acceptability. I remember talking with you a long time ago about Milton Bradley when he was a Cub and trying to figure out how you manage that guy, you know, and like... And to a lesser extent, I've been thinking about it with Yu Darvish. Now, you know, Milton Bradley, as we later figured out, was mercurial to a pathological degree and ended up being also violent, as well as, you know, clearly damaged mentally and had, you know, the kind of the persecution complex to him that he talked about. You remember covering that? But here's Yu Darvish, who's obviously a very sensitive guy. Yu Darvish spent all of last year for the Cubs hating his presence, being injured, yes, but there was a lot of mental parts to his failure last year, being sensitive to the booing and stuff like that. And you got to manage some people and coach some people a different way.
Absolutely.
You got to take time to get to know them and figure them out.
Yes, yes. It doesn't happen overnight. What works for one guy may not work for the next guy. Everybody
right?
has a different set of needs and things that they will respond to. And as you know, I was among those with Darvish last year who kind of came off the ropes initially, you know, with the elbow in the
sure.
chest. You know, what are you doing? You're a professional athlete. But you step back and widen the focus and think about it for a few days, and you realize that despite his high level of income and having been on the biggest stage in his craft before, he's a human being.
Right.
And he's still in a foreign land, and he's still learning about American culture, and he's in a brand new city, and I can imagine it was rough on him. These people are that salary does not make him something that's a guy who's impervious to having human
right.
feelings.
Now, does Tom Izzo know Aaron Henry enough? Has he done the work on a personal level to try and figure out what makes this freshman tick and how we can possibly try to reach him? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
And he may still be of the opinion that, no, this guy needs to be yelled at. He needs to be broken down before I can build him back up to be the player that I want him to be.
It's weird to me that 16 games are played yesterday, and this seems to be the headline. Everyone's talking about that, and everybody looking forward to seeing Zion bust loose tonight when Duke gets after it en route to their next national championship for the benefit of the show pod. But there were some amazing moments on day one. Not a ton of them.
Oh,
but
there were some.
Yes,
there were some. And let's talk about one player that we've already discussed a little, but I want to talk about with you. And apparently you told us there is a jersey that is up here at Draft Picks at 523 Fairway Drive in Naperville. This place is awesome, but there's a jersey on the wall that needs to come down.
It needs to come down. I'll kick in the first $20. We'll pass the hat around to get a new framed jersey in this wonderful establishment. Yes, it has to come down. It absolutely doesn't.
It's a local player?
It's a local player.
Active player?
No.
No, you didn't even have to give me that.
No, he's not an active player.
Any team is any professional team?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
I told you I wasn't going to ask questions, then I just asked another
right.
one.
Right. You playing continuation, or who can it be now? You
want to
ask me? Are you Starlin Castro? No. That jersey is on the wall, but that's not the one that I think needs to be taken down the most.
All right, well, we can take some text guesses here,
too. Yeah, 670-11, if you want to shoot us a text, which jersey needs to be taken off the wall here? We're going to pass the hat, and we're going to come up with funding for a brand-new jersey. I got the first $20 whenever we get to the text. They're brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, MegaPros.com.
I love that you're already thinking about replacing it with a new jersey and you're raising money. I'm just interested in taking it down. That's where the fun is. What are we doing? We're just going to throw stuff at it until it comes down?
I ain't walking out of here with it unless I collect $300 because I think we should have a ceremonial. We'll go Office Space on this thing in the parking lot like the guys did with the copier.
Absolutely.
In Office. We'll go Michael Bolton on it and just kick it and beat it until we cut our hands and feet up. Because that's what it deserves.
All right. Well, we'll get that answer, but feel free to text your guesses as to what former professional player in this town has a jersey up at Draft Picks that needs desperately to come down.
It's McNeil and Spiegel in for Parkins on 670 The Score.
I guess Danny, I heard him yesterday. I saw him at the remote. He is taking the day off because he is fully committed to the tournament. And he feels like Chicago isn't into basketball as much as he is. And he doesn't want to counter program or anything. He wants to go and watch the games. And I don't know whether he'd be meeting you, Eli, but and when I say watch the games, I think he's got investment opportunities in mind. So he's taken a day off strictly to get in his cups and follow basketball.
Yeah, well, good for him.
I'm going to stay home. I'm going to watch a game. Yeah. I'm going to gamble. I'm going to hang out.
The joy of the NCAA tournament.
Was that Kevin Zipak doing a Parkins?
Yep, that's what it was.
That's
Mully is correct. That is exactly the appropriate representation of Parkins' stance.
And I loved David Hall's reaction. Well, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Move the drill.
Okay. Next thing. Let's talk about the next thing.
You may know this about Danny Parkins. He's not everybody's flavor.
I do know that. I do know that, but I he was not my flavor at the beginning of our short run, but we became each other's flavor, Dan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when
I've liked the taste of him since day one.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
Right from the get-go?
I have.
Good. Good. Well, you know,
I did with every partner, though.
It's an interesting, and so have I eventually with every partner. You know, and that's your job, isn't it?
Yes.
That is the gig, is to genuinely find the chemistry, find the middle of the Venn diagram where you overlap, find the stuff that you think is ridiculous about that person, and make fun of them about it without pissing them off. Mm-hmm. Eventually,
mm-hmm.
You know, like to find that chemistry. That's the joy of right. this thing when you do it well.
Right, and I hope he's already knee deep in vodka. I'm sure he is. I bet that he's already 0.10.
You think so?
Oh yeah. He's had at least three. He's had at least three drinks by now.
I'm going to say he's exhausted two different vape pens,
probably.
And his wallet is empty.
Yeah, wallet's definitely empty. I know he had Cincinnati minus 3.5 this morning, so not a good start for the
woof,
kid.
Woof.
He just throws stuff at the wall, hoping something sticks. That's how he bets.
Didn't watch Cincinnati basketball all year, but had his feeling on Cincinnati, Iowa.
Well, that's all of us. That's this time of year.
I understand that,
right?
But he
not a particularly good way to start.
Every game.
He is a gambler. He's not an investor. He's a gambler.
Man, I go to that Calcutta auction thing every year, the night or two nights before the tournament, and I'm there and everybody's looking at me because they know I'm in the knowledge acquisition business. This is my gig.
Mm-hmm.
I should know all of these things and break down all these teams. And this year, I felt better prepared, and that's because we talked to Eli Hershkovich for 20 minutes.
Right, Simba.
The other day.
Yes.
Right. It was like, so
a
fountain
of knowledge.
I'm regurgitating some Hershka facts, if you will, and also like some stuff that I'd read over the past few days, you know, trying to hang with people.
Sure, right. You want to regurgitate a soundbite so you don't sound completely stupid.
Right. You know, Virginia, I know they've got the same pace of play as last year, but their offense is way better.
North Carolina might not be the most explosive team, but they play both ends of the floor.
I'll tell you what, a freshman guard, Kobe White, I don't know if I can trust him with the Tide Cubs. I genuinely have concerns. At 670-11, Mac, people are guessing as to whose jersey is up here at Draft Picks and needs to come down.
Yes, they are. We're getting a lot of good text. I see Albert Bell's name mentioned. No, I have not seen an Albert Bell jersey. Chris Sale's name has been mentioned, and I would assume that's from a Draft Picks regular because there is a Chris Sale jersey here, but that's not the one that I had in mind. Since it's been suggested, though, I think it would be befitting to take the jersey down, take a pair of scissors to it, you know, give it some styling, and then reframe it and put it back up.
You can't do it to that one. You have to do it for, like, the 79 throwback or whatever it was specific.
But that's not the one they got here,
I know,
though,
but
Shep.
That's the one that he cut up. You needed to be historically accurate.
It's the 77s, right?
77,
it's
whatever
it was. Southside Hitmen.
Yes,
God,
77 Hitmen.
Atrocious things. It's exactly what should have been done to him.
You know what? I understood where he was coming from.
I absolutely agreed with him.
It was a petulant, childish move, and then, like, the whole thing that happened. the whole thing that happened after it was an embarrassment. It was the kind of embarrassment that should have gotten Kenny Williams removed, except he sleeps in a bunk bed at Jerry Reinsdorf's house with Rick Hahn.
Protected from up on high.
Forever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those jerseys, man. It's like if the huge collars, your way.
I want my franchise pitch. I want my best pitch. I want him comfortable on Sundays when I'm trying to bust 15,500 in attendance.
All right, these other guests as to the jersey that's up. Yeah, Mac, that Doug DiCenzo jersey really has to come down immediately. Alexander Karpatsev is a guest here.
Oh, we get Pat Foley to come and go off his
face. He would love that. No, it's not Addison Russell.
That's been guessed several times,
Is it Mac's favorite player, Jay Cutler?
It indeed is Jay Cutler.
Oh, we got there too soon.
Yes, and as soon as I talked to the owner about it, he says, which one needs to come down? He asked me, too, if it's Sale, and I said, no, I got nothing but love for Chris Sale. I loved him. I still love him. I don't want anything to do with that, but Jay Cutler, he goes, yeah, you're right.
No, you're not.
So ceremonial,
you're not right.
Ceremonial thrashing.
You are not correct.
I'm right. When the owner says I'm right, that means I'm right.
He's just because he owns the place doesn't mean he knows a damn thing about sports.
Well, 300
no offense,
cover the
Jim.
Jersey and frame, sir. 300. If we can get 300 today, we're trashing the crap out of that thing.
Mac doesn't like the body language of that jersey up there. Doesn't like the way that jersey's hanging. Thinks the frame is looking askance at other frames in the room.
We are going to take that frame jersey and smash it off the tailgate of my F-150 as soon as the show wraps up. You guys in? You guys with me on that?
When you look back at the totality of his Bears run, and he ended up being, you know, statistically one of the better quarterbacks in the history of the franchise.
The best.
Okay.
Yes. This is fitting because I'm getting flashbacks to 09. Yeah. With Spiegs just lighting up the Jay Cutler excuse tree like it's old times.
That's where I was. I did. I lit up the Jay Cutler excuse tree.
Interceptions weren't his fault. Offensive coordinator Mike Tice isn't his fault.
In the end, he was exactly what we ended up realizing that he was. Just a dude
it took
who put
a long time for you and
yes.
a lot of others to see what he was.
Tons of people. But that doesn't mean he's as bad as you thought he was.
As well, if he weren't such a turd, it would have been easier to accept his never meeting his level of expectations as a player, right?
Does Olin Krutz believe he is a turd? Because Olin at the beginning was like the poster boy for old guard Bears who really didn't like this guy as
correct.
They tried to run the locker room. Have you talked to Olin about it?
I don't think. Did Jay come up this season?
We didn't get
Olin?
Too in depth with
no,
it.
No, we
yeah.
were busy talking about him choking Drew Brees this season.
Right,
that
yeah.
was something that came up a few times with good old number 57.
That's,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. yeah.
No, because, you know, like, look, I long ago put
the
down
Jay
my conversational sword.
Tree. I didn't think I'd hear that one referenced today.
I sheathed my Jay Cutler conversational sword. Long ago. He is what he is. But as you look back on it, I don't think the Cutler era is one to completely dismiss from the record books or the sports bars. I don't agree with you on that.
Oh, I'm happy to move on from it.
Move on.
All
yeah,
right.
But
I don't need any more memories of that.
That trade Jerry Angelo made 10 years ago this month, one of the worst trades in Chicago sports history. No? You gave up two number ones for what? One playoff win? You got one playoff win over a Seattle team that statistically
yeah.
was quantifiably the worst playoff team in NFL history at 7-9. Remember?
Yeah, no, I do. I do.
Softy Mahler due in at 10:45 for a scout on Pete Carroll's Seahawks.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, you know.
That was the worst team in NFL playoff history. That's who Jay Cutler beat in his one playoff win as quarterback of the Bears.
Well, I mean, the undeniable truth to your end of the conversation is that when you get quarterback wrong and you hold on to that quarterback year after year after year and you try to fix it and it just doesn't get better no matter what you do, it doesn't get good enough, then you are setting your franchise back year after year after
that's
year.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it did. Nine
mm-hmm.
years of it, I believe. Wasn't it nine full seasons with Cuddy?
What was it? 09 through 16?
17, right?
17?
Yeah.
Yeah.
9 years.
9 years.
Oh,
nine
my
nine
God.
Years.
Yeah. That's all right, take it down. Yeah.
Okay,
too
take
long.
The
all right.
jersey
all right,
down.
You win.
Yeah, I
you
just.
You win.
Like, you want to represent that time, throw up a 54, throw up a 33, throw up a 55. Like,
yeah.
Plenty of other options.
Got a ton of Cody Parkey guesses.
Like, as a former
why
player.
Would that jersey ever have gone up in any bar in Chicagoland at any time?
It didn't. Bobby Hull. Lots of Bobby Hull guesses. This is the wrong time slot. Mac is not going to give you Bobby Hull. That's not going to happen. Kyle Farnsworth, perhaps, getting a suggestion.
Hmm.
No. He wasn't
I mean,
that
most,
bad.
Most Cubs fans have an okay feeling about Farnsworth, do they not?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, the way he tackled Paul Wilson, that's his claim
yeah,
to fame.
You know, but he also was kind of it was just a jamoke. Remember he broke his foot by kicking an oscillating fan or
was
a
that
box
what it
fan?
Was?
He was kicking. He kicked a box fan in the clubhouse and broke his foot.
I just remember thinking, wow, this guy throws 100, and it does not move at all.
Straight as can be.
Yeah. That was one ornery old hillbilly, though, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I guess he was a tough dude.
And this guy is correct. Say what you want about Cutler, but as a novelty, can you name three Chicago sports figures that have gotten more radio material in the last 10 years? Oh, my God.
No, probably not. Yeah.
Did we flap gums about him and Ozzie Guillen? You know, Ozzie Guillen generated so much conversation during his run.
Very polarizing. And I heard a great soundbite today from Ozzie on our morning show. Maybe we'll get to it before we blast out of here at 6 o'clock tonight. It sounded like he was in the studio with the guys this morning, or at least he was on a really clean line somewhere else. But he was in the studio? Okay, it sounded like it. And I swear to God, I was listening to Tony Montana. talking about the White Sox shortstop, Tim Anderson. That's not Ozzie Guillen. That's Tony Montana. First you get the power, then you get the money, then you get the woman. That's who he is.
Yeah, we had Ozzie on the baseball show and Inside the Clubhouse a couple weeks ago, and people were like, I can't understand him. Has Ozzie gotten harder to understand? Or has his phone gotten poorer through the years? Something happened where he's regressed in intelligibility.
He was actually using Bruce's cell phone.
In face-to-face conversations with him, I've always been able to understand him better when I talk like Manolo, the character Stephen Bauer played in Scarface.
Yeah, you go there, and then you slip into being able to understand. All right, so I'll give you Cutler, Ozzie Guillen, and Derrick Rose as the athletes who have generated the most conversation. Sports-wise in this town over the last decade or so.
That's probably right. Honorable mentions to Patrick Kane.
Ozzie goes back further than a decade, too. Really.
Yeah, if you want to cover the century, of it. 21st century. We've had 20 years of it so far. Mm. Keep it a nice even 20 years. Ozzie's part of that.
Ozzie's definitely part of it. And so are Cutler and so are D. Rose.
Yep, and maybe Kane. Maybe Patrick Kane.
Ryan's
who's out of gas, by the way?
So
you're doing last 20 years. Throw Sammy in there because of the way it ended.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And no, I wouldn't want – there were people who guessed Sosa jersey coming out. That wouldn't be my desire. I think the Cubs should put it up, put that 21 up somewhere. But that's a show we'll do sometime down the road.
Yeah, and most of these people were naming or polarizing and had people on both sides. But Theo Epstein, it's not like it's been polarizing, but boy, we've talked about Theo Epstein an awful lot over the past 7-8 years.
Yeah, especially Danny Parkins. He has a poster of Theo in his Hall of Fame room. We're broadcasting from Draft Picks in Naperville with Miller Lite today, watching college basketball. Teddy Greenstein from the Trib is checking in. And just a little bit later on today, Tim Doyle from CBS will check in, give us his thoughts as some of these games continue to wrap up in a preview of tonight's game. Spiegel is in for Danny Parkins. I'm Mac. You've got the Score Sports Radio 670.